Welcome to This Modern Brand, the podcast where we unearth the strategies, values, and innovations of some of America's most beloved and successful brands. I'm your host, Jason Parks, Chief Growth Officer at Barkley. I'm a career ad man who's had a front row seat to the evolution of our business over the last 25 years.
So long.
Jen, I feel old.
You are old.
Well, thank you.
I'm right there with you, though. I'm Jen Mazey. I'm a career storyteller and content director at Barkley. This is the pod where we explore what a brand success means for the category, for the competition, and for you, the everyday marketer. Come for the insights, stay for the brand battles, leave with actionable ideas for your own influence and impact as a brand builder.
So before we get started, I want to level set on this fundamental principle. In today's market, your brand is more than just a logo. It's every action your organization takes, from how you treat your employees and nurture your workforce, all the way to how you show up in the world. Maybe it's in an ad. And we call this concept being a whole brand. It's a holistic, system-centric mindset that we see from leaders of the world's top brands. They adopt it and put it into practice. Leaders like our guest today, Kunal Mehta, Winnebago's VP of Strategy, Marketing, and Business Development.
Kunal, thanks for taking the time to give our audience a peek into the world of Winnebago. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to your position at Winnie.
First and foremost, Jen, Jason, thank you so much for being having me on the podcast. And also thank you to Barkley in general. You guys have been a phenomenal partner to Winnebago over the last 5 years. We can only say great things about the team that we engage with on a day-to-day basis. I don't know if my story is compelling. It's quite a simple story, in my opinion. I was a career consultant for quite some time, really focused on emerging technologies. So my career kind of took me into the growth strategy space. Chatbots, AI, very early on. Then I went into 3D printing, just every type of emerging technology possible. I landed at Tesla for some time, really worked at Tesla, focused on customer experience design in North America. And then I helped the organization really think through how we would enter various Asia Pacific markets, so non-China. So thinking about Singapore, Japan, Korea, Australia, New Zealand, some of these markets that are ripe for EV disruption. And then landed at Winnebago. I mean, you guys said it, iconic American company. Most people ask, why would I leave Tesla to come to Winnebago? And a couple of easy answers for me. One, some family kind of dynamics of trying to be called a little bit more is really important to me as I'm thinking about that. And then two, if you think about this 65-year-old brand, it's absolutely beautiful in terms of what it means, in terms of the outdoors, in terms of what it's been able to successfully achieve over the last 65 years in terms of bringing folks outdoors. And as I was engaged kind of through that interview process with Hugh Bauer, the president around Winnebago Industries, our kind of parent company, you can see a very compelling foresight of where they want to take the company and where they want to take this idea of RVing and what's that next chapter in kind of America's RVing culture. They knew what it looked like. And it was housed within sustainability, electrification, technology, innovation, kind of what's that next chapter of innovation. And I just felt compelled that a lot of my emerging technology experience over the last 15, 17 years would kind of culminate perfectly at this organization. And I guess the answer that I think most marketers would want to hear is it's Winnebago. It's this eponym of the RV industry. It means Kleenex to RVers. As if it's tissue paper, that type of symbolism. And so it's hard to say, yes, I left Tesla, but I'm at Winnebago. And it's an amazing kind of brand that holds a lot of equity in a lot of people's minds, especially the last generation. So how do we make sure that becomes kind of as important or as kind of culturally relevant to this next generation?
That's great. I love that, you know, it's the perfect dichotomy with Tesla as we're talking about modern brands, as that you would hold that up, right, as a modern brand. But Winnebago can absolutely, even though it's a 65-year-old brand, like you said, you know, the change and what you're doing with the brand and your team, I think that can exemplify a modern brand as well. So love to hear that background and the reason why you came over. So can you talk a little bit about your specific role at Winnebago and how that helps shape the brand?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, I hold two roles, and I actually didn't take on the marketing role when I came in. That was kind of something that kind of came about a couple months after I joined. I'm not sure. We joke internally with my boss of why he decided that, because I'm not a marketer by trade or education. But I think my passion for the brand, mixed with kind of the upfront strategy, the business strategy and business development work I do, is unique. And the reason I say this is, when I think about our brand strategy, our marketing strategy, it has to tie back to the business strategy. And when I think of kind of the two sides of this coin, strategy is where you kind of where you play, how you win, and the marketing side of it, or the brand side, is the external kind of personification of that strategy. It's how that internal kind of thought process is exuded out to your consumers. And for us, it's both dealers and kind of end retail consumers. And so for me, it's really important to make sure that when I'm working with our leadership team to develop, design, and kind of execute our strategy, everybody on the end side, be that operations, product, or myself from a marketing or my team on the marketing side, is understanding kind of that forefront strategy and then executing aligned to it. So from a brand standpoint, you guys said it, and I love this concept of the whole brand that Barclay kind of articulates, is everything that we do, every person, every project, every component that sits on an RV better be assigned and aligned to our brand strategy. So our brand strategy is the pursuit of life without limits. We talk about this, and we worked with Barclay to develop this. Our pillars are innovation, quality, service, and belonging. So everything that we do from a strategic standpoint better flow through the organization so that the brand can actually tell that story. If we make a mistake on a single component on one of our RVs, that could impact innovation, that can impact quality. Ultimately, that impacts our brand. So for me, the brand is exceptionally important. And what this organization has done for 65 years, we need to maintain that relevance for another 65 years. Otherwise, as an org, we might not exist. There's a lot of competition out there. And so our strategy influences our brand, and our brand is really what consumers know us as. They don't care about our strategy. They care about our brand, who we are, what we build, what we stand for is really important these days. The other thing I'd say is, when I look at how we think about brands, there's, for me, brands are like relationships. You have to nurture it. They're hyper, hyper personal. And you have to kind of curate it over time. And so in our role, in my role, in my team's role, we are looking to figure out how to kind of take our brand, what it stands for today, and kind of take it to that next level. What does Winnebago mean going forward is going to be a very big question. And how does it relate back to the original brand pillars that the organization had developed decades ago?
You were a key player a few years ago back for the Go Where You Feel campaign, which was an award winner, by the way. That marked Winnebago's first campaign work in decades. How did your team decide that was the time to step back into advertising? And how did the Winnebago community respond?
Good question. I'll first by saying, I was not the impetus. I'm a big believer that credit is due where it's supposed to be due. So I think I carried the torch across the finish line. Quite frankly, it was my predecessor in Barclay that supported this effort. But before I even get there, context or history of why we need to do this is really important. One of my team members, Mark Nevels, said something quite impactful to me that we've been talking about internally. It's heritage is an authentic foundation. It's not a free pass. And so when you think about Winnebago, we're a 65-year-old brand. We are the eponym of the RV industry. John K. Hansen, the original founder, he developed this brand and this whole concept of whole brand. He's impacted the city of Forest City, where Winnebago started. He's impacted the community. If you look at the visual design language of the RVs back in the 70s, 80s, you know what a Winnebago looks like. It's one with the eyebrow. It has the flying W across it. So when we think of this concept of whole brand, he did a very good job of curating a whole brand. He made it so that every component, every person lived and breathed Winnebago. The global financial crisis in 2008 hurt our business quite a bit. RV industry is quite volatile. And so as we climbed out of that and from 8, 9, 10, the organization really focused on operational efficiency and kind of climbing back out of what was a 80, 90% kind of hit to revenue. And so in those days, I would say we relied on the laurels of what John K. Hansen did, this company that is known as basically the equivalent of the term RB. And so we forgot about really nurturing the brand. And so I'd say what my predecessor did is he started to look at what do we need to do? Who are we as a company? We grew from kind of class A into class B, class C. We pioneered new entrants, the Revel product in the overlanding space. We pioneered different chassis. And so our brand, i.e. our company, became quite diverse in terms of who we targeted, our consumers. What did they use the products for? And through some brand work, before we even did the Go Reveal campaign, we kind of identified that our customers are these perpetual pathfinders. They're always asking, what's next? Where should I go next? What's the next adventure? And so first stage was kind of figure out who we are as a brand and go back to kind of the roots of who we are. So again, heritage is an authentic foundation. Go back to those roots to figure out what was successful then and how does that play into today? And we did that. We figured this out. We were able to identify our customer. Then the next step was to tell it. And so that's where the Go Reveal campaign came in. So I was fortunate enough to kind of just join right when it was kicking off. So I got to do all the fun things. I go on the shoot, watch everybody kind of do this entire adventurous, rugged activity efforts back in like the Tahoe area of California. So that was kind of this culmination of Go Where You Feel. Like, if our customers are perpetual pathfinders, they're always asking what's next. We're just telling them, go where you feel. Like, take your rig, take your RV, and go. And it's funny when I say this, but it is that. It's just have them go wherever they feel. It's no longer just kind of these cozy cruisers that go to a campsite, drink their wine. We have customers that go out to the middle of nowhere and boondock and take their bicycles and go hyper-rugged biking, etc. And so the concept was developed very much in partnership with you guys, and we love it. Our community loves it. And when I say community, that's like three pieces. The employees were jazzed. When we showcased kind of just the video when it came out, they were waiting for a connection back to the brand that I think had been a while. While they had the products, the story, the narrative around adventure and who our customers are comes to life in the video, in the content. Our dealers, we presented it at the dealer meeting that we have. They were just, again, just ecstatic in terms of, hey, this is Winnebago again. Like, we see it now. And again, content, this, like the physical ability to actually connect, the tone, the copy, the voice, everything added to them. And then, of course, customers. We've used all this content, obviously, from a sales standpoint. Marketing ultimately drives sales. And so using that with all of our paid media efforts, we've seen tremendous uptick in terms of who we are as a brand. And then I'd say the fourth one is the industry. The RV industry is a little antiquated, to say the least. And so not many folks do stuff like this. And we have the right to do it, given we are such a strong brand. Probably Airstream, our competitor, is probably the only one that really can do something like this. And I'd say people notice. Our competitors notice what we're doing, which is awesome just to see that, hey, our brand is out there and the community loved it. So we just finished round two. Again, this is a little bit more traditional from an RV standpoint, not as adventurous. But again, Go Where You Feel allows you to kind of go whichever direction, given our consumers kind of, we have the full ring of RVing from your entry level travel trailers to class A diesel pushers that cost $500,000.
So in order to stay relevant, modern brands must rely heavily on human insights and data. And I love you just mentioned that you've got this core group that you've identified as perpetual pathfinders. So I'd love to dig in a little bit deeper there. Talk to us about, you know, how do you understand them better? What sort of research and data do you pull to help drive the brand forward? And what have you uncovered?
Yeah, I think any organization will say data is important. We know that we're in a data-driven society these days. It's the new oil, if you want to call it that. So for us, we do data in multiple aspects. There's the product team does a fantastic job of assessing existing customers and new customers as we try to grow the pie. A lot of that's qualitative insights. They are out in the field. They're going to shows, events. They're part of the community events. They're talking to folks and just distilling information almost on a daily basis of what's working, what's not. That's obviously one way of grabbing data for us. Two, we engage in some heavy research. So this is all like full-on conjoint study type of research where we have data scientists that are engaging thousands of customers, obviously making sure it's all statistically significant. So our journey of data probably really went into hyperdrive about 4 years ago. And now we have a long ways to go. But one of the biggest things that we said about 4 years ago is, who are our personas? I just mentioned that we kind of target everybody. We have so many different products. But what is it about our products? And because we're kind of everything, how do we prioritize our multi-generational product plan? In the end, we need these insights to know where should we focus as a brand, and how do we prioritize the products that are coming out in the future? So we kicked off what we call a demand landscape. And we've done a demand landscape, an emerging demand landscape. We then went deeper for electrification landscape. We went deeper for these nomad landscapes. And so every time an insight is uncovered, as a brand, we are pioneers. Winnebago has always been on the forefront of RV. We always look at what's next, not copy-paste of what's in the marketplace. And so for us, the research, both qualitative and quantitative, unlocks kind of where we need to go. And that is extremely helpful because there's so many places we can go. And so it's a lot about prioritization. So we've engaged, again, with your partners at Barclay. And I love the Barclay research folks. Very knowledgeable, very data-centric, almost geeking out almost too much, in my opinion, to some of the data that we do, which is great. But we engaged and we first focused on the personas. What are these customer segments? What are their need states? And then through that, what's the size of the pie? What are the feature sets that we need on these products? And then what's the emerging things that are coming that are maybe 3 to 5 to 7 years down the road where the technology might not even exist? And so that helped to define some of the technologies that we need to either pursue or we need to develop ourselves. And so what is our innovation roadmap came out of this. And so a lot of that data really helped us define our strategy of where we need to go, define the consumers that we need to target. We can't be everything to everyone. So it helped us narrow in on all of that. And then some of the cool things that we've done is around electrification. Some of our electrification research helped identify really the market size. We are on the early, early precipice of electrification in the RV industry. Fine, Tesla's done a great job of getting to X percent market share, 5% in the EV automotive. But with RVing, it's a little bit different. You're taking longer trips. Yeah, you're probably going out to areas where you don't have charging systems. And so when we think about electrification, the research that we've done has helped us moderate, if not temper, kind of the expectations, but also helped us light a fire in terms of that we need to do this because it's very real. And there are consumers that, quite frankly, want an electric vehicle. So data to us is really important. The last thing I'll say is data is only one side of the coin. If I ever meet anybody that says, oh, I'm data centric, I typically wait and pause and just say, okay, what's the next thing they're about to say? One of the other things that you need to pair with data is gut, intuition. I think today a lot of folks are forgetting about the intuition side of things. And so what I love about our product team is they use data, but they also have their pulse so well on the ground. They have this natural sense of intuition of where to go. And quite frankly, sometimes the intuition is better than the data. And so sometimes you just kind of rely on that and go with it. Because data if you have garbage in, you'll have garbage out. It's simple as that. So as you're collecting data, if it's not accurately collected, or if there's noise in the data, that means the output of it is telling you something that may not be true. So pair it with intuition, and then you have a pretty powerful capability.
Let's take it back to the ERV for a minute. You know, I represent your demographic who loved camping during the pandemic. So as an avid traveler who also works in the sustainability space, was super excited to hear that Winnebago was first to market with the ERV prototype. What can you tell us about where that is and where you are with the testing process?
Yeah, so ERV 2 was probably my favorite program since I joined Winnebago. It started actually 2018, so quite some time ago. Advanced technology groups kind of was, I don't want to call it playing around because that makes it sound less than what it is, but engineering, kind of large class A, specialty vehicles for a couple audiences. We have a commercial business that's called specialty vehicles. And so they were kind of taking existing chassis and putting electric motors, not far vehicles in terms of mileage. Successful launch in 2018 of a couple products. Great. We started it. We're the first to kind of do it. That then in 2020 basically kicked off an effort as an org, again, pioneers, Winnebago Industries, as a company of pioneers. We said we need to be on the forefront. So they ended up buying a Ford Transit chassis. So we buy chassis from Chrysler, Ford, Mercedes. They bought an internal combustion chassis. They stripped it out. They put installed batteries, installed electric transmissions, et cetera, and then built a house on it. And they launched the ERV at an RV show in January of 2022. That was a concept vehicle. That just basically told the world, hey, we're thinking about it. We then drove it back from DC to Eden Prairie, so put as that 1,200 miles. And we proved to the world that, hey, this is viable. Like, it can actually make it across the country, but it's early. Then the gauntlet was laid within the Winnebago business to say, hey, we got to do this and we got to go create a prototype. But some of the research told us that Winnebago, while iconic, would consumers believe that Winnebago, the 65-year-old company, can actually do this? So we said yes. And then if you think about our brand, we said we're pioneers, we're innovators, we're quality, we're all about service, we're about belonging. So the ERV2, now that it's out there, this prototype, it's not just an electric vehicle. It's our vision of the future of our being. So it harnesses concepts of sustainability, both in the chassis, but then the materials that are used in it. It's concepts of design. There's so much change in this around how you design an RV. Quality is absolutely up front. If you pay attention to the little things and we see how our engineers redesign things for the future, it's amazing that the brand is really exuded out of this product so well. It's obviously electric. It's not just electric on the propulsion. It's electric in the house, which is both sustainable, but also as we think about regulations, et cetera, shifting away from propane, this has it all. And then it's connected. And so another piece of the RV2 is we built our own connected ecosystem. So no differently than a connected hull, we have a connected house on our RV. And so that data, it will ultimately inform a lot of our research and data going forward. So the ERV2, it was a 12-month exercise where all hands on deck kind of got this out in the marketplace. We launched the prototype in January of 2023. We then did a testing program, and the testing program is to tell the world that we know what we're doing. Again, we needed to shift brand perceptions of Winnebago from kind of legacy, iconic. Some of these words that are oftentimes great, but at the same time, it comes with its own baggage, that we're a legacy. We want to be the Tesla or the Rivian or some of these other new companies that people just naturally anchor to. We're Winnebago. We know how to build RVs really well, and we know how to pioneer to the future. And so the test exercise that we did for about 6 months put the vehicle onto the marketplace. We had over 365 nights of camping across about 100 customers. We just put it out there and said, here, go for it. Now, in that process, we did a whole bunch of research, to go back to the last question. We were pulling information day to day. And so we felt like we came out of that exercise exceptionally well geared around what it's going to take to get an ERV into the marketplace. And so as of right now, we're still working through things. I'm not allowed to share kind of a timeline and stuff like that, highly sensitive kind of project. But we know there's an electric future. I can say that. We know some of the core criteria around range anxiety, infrastructure, no differently than electrification in vehicles. It's going to carry over. We know that it's going to be probably a little bit longer before really electric RVs kind of take off, just because of the infrastructure and range limitation. We also know that there are opportunities in the marketplace. And last but not least, we know there are customers that are ready to buy this thing. We had plenty of consumers tell us and knocking on a door, when's it ready? I want to buy it. I'm the early adopter, the innovator. I want to jump on this thing. And it's been fantastic. It's been an awesome ride.
So when you think about successful modern brands, I think there's one constant, and that's change, right? To stay modern, you have to change. And you started off with this is amazing career experience from Tesla to Winnebago. So I would love for our marketers and our brand people out there, I'd love if you could share, what's the biggest change maybe that you've seen in building brands in the business in your career, or even maybe the biggest change that you see coming so that other marketers can prepare and be ready for that?
That's a tough question. So one of the things, maybe this is a little bit closer to me, and maybe a change in how I think versus a change that might be coming, and maybe I could tackle that next. So because I was always on kind of this front edge of technology, I was always kind of, the shiny object was always dangled in front of me. So I'd always run towards these cool emerging kind of brands. That was kind of the nature of the last kind of 20 years of my career. And so one of the things that when I joined Winnebago that I was tasked with is, hey, what Hugh would oftentimes tell me is recharge our brand, recharge Winnebago brand. And I don't know, I've pushed back on him on that term of recharge. And then I've kind of come up with my own modernized. I'm like, not all that, none of that really works, because the Winnebago brand has so much purity in it. It's so cool. It's about the outdoors. It has legacy. It made it to a category that it means RVs. Like, so kudos to those before me that got it there. And so one of the things that I realized is when I came in, and first and foremost, I was thinking, okay, let's go make this the next Apple or Tesla or whatever these cool brands are. And I was like, I don't need to do that. What I actually need to do is let me go back to what made our brand the brand it was today. Let me go back to what John Kay did and curated this brand that meant so much. Let's go back to the roots and figure out, how did we deviate as an organization away from those roots? Because something made it as successful as it was. What is that something? You need to look for it. And so for me, the change was, you don't have to go after the shiny objects. Sometimes it's right in front of you. Sometimes the brand needs something that you need to go find again, and then ensure and cultivate it back through the organization. That's probably one of the biggest things that I've learned in my change years at Winnebago, that, hey, there was purity in the brand. Make sure you honor that, because it did something for a company, and it did something for a culture, and it did something, quite frankly, I guess I'm allowed to say this, because it's Winnebago, for a generation, that it actually means something. So go figure out what that is, and then make it relevant again. I think that's, if there's a way of making something relevant, a single word, that's the word I'm looking for, rather than modernize and recharge. It's, how do I reconnect what we stand for to what the next generation of consumers want? And I think we're there. We're finding our way there. And I would say we have a plan for the brand to get there and the company to get there. We have a lot of competition coming out of every possible corner, but I know our brand will persevere. It's going to be strong. It's Winnebago. And so we have the right team to do it. So Jason, you asked about the future. I'd say one of the things that all marketers should be obviously conscious about is the market, at least in America, and quite frankly, I'd say across the country or across the world, it is very sensitive. There's a lot of things that you could do while you are trying to be authentic, may not be taken the right way by a specific consumer. And those edge consumers might create a little bit of chaos, tension, and concern for your brand. So I would just say, as a marketer, be very authentic. Be who you are. Make sure you're also living by the principles of your brand, and your say-do ratio is high. So don't do things just to do it. Make sure that you're doing things that mean something to you as a brand, and make sure that you cultivate those things and continue to grow it. Don't just do something to check the box, because I'm seeing way too many brands do that these days. And so if you can't do it, can't invest in it, then probably pause for now. I'm going to get to it, but make sure it's on your plan, and then make sure you advocate for doing it, but don't just check the box. And so a lot of our conversations within Winnebago Industries, even our sister brands, is as an industry, I mean, here's a simple example. As an industry, it's been historically focused on Caucasians. Simple. That's what the RV industry has been. And so when you think about diversity, equity, inclusion, we know there is a huge audience of emerging consumers that we need to bring and welcome to our community. And so as a brand, we need to do those right steps. Can't just check the box. And so make sure that we're understanding who they are. We're making sure that they are represented in everything that we do. And if you're going to do it, then make sure that you cultivate it. Make sure you engage with those groups. Make sure you bring Winnebagoes out there and start curating it and be authentic in everything that you do. Because you will get caught very quickly in today's society if you're not doing it authentically. And so I'd say that's one of the things that's always on my mind.
That's a great segue into our last question, which is really, you know, what is it about Winnebago that you're super fans, whether that's employees or your consumers? What is it about Winnebago that people love most?
And I think this is an easy question. It's the rig. The physical Winnebago itself can take them to places they probably haven't gone. It brings communities together. It brings families together. The amount of times I hear folks just say, oh, yeah, and they probably are saying this not simply as Winnebago, but our being, like, say, oh, I remember when I was a kid and we used to gather Winnebago and we go out to a campsite. I just remember those stories. And it's kind of ingrained in their childhood memories, if not adult memories. So it's a pretty easy answer for me to say that super fans or a fan or the employees, whatever it might be, they get to use our vehicles to cultivate a sense of community, a sense of family. It's real. You get to be in the outdoors in this digital age. This thing that we produce forces you to go out and disconnect. I might twist the question a little bit to also add that to maybe be a little bit more inspiring to guess folks out there from a marketer standpoint. One of the things that we try to cultivate within our org is to live the experience. So you should be your own super fan. You should be your own kind of super fan of the product. So making sure that our employees, our team members, whoever it might be, they get in products, they can go out there, they live the experience, they understand that this is oftentimes a house on wheels, that things can go wrong. And when it goes wrong, how do you fix it so that you understand what the consumers are going through? Listen to those consumers when you're out there, engage with those consumers when you're out there. So I would oftentimes say, as a super fan, go enjoy the rig. As someone that's trying to create super fans, go enjoy the rig, because it's the only way you're going to be able to figure it out.
Can we get a Barclay branded rig?
I'll get right on that. I love that idea.
I think so too. Yeah.
Kunal, thank you so much for your time today. Amazing insights that I think can inspire other marketers and that they can apply to their business. So we really appreciate it. For more stories and insights on how to build modern brands that people love, come visit us at barclayus.com.